You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the NWSL Challenge Cup final. It happened. It was entertaining. And the MLS is back tournament. We found out a coach has been let go even after this MLS is back tournament.
That's right. Plus, we talked to DeJuan Jones of New England Revolution. And I'm pretty sure Charlotte sent us a thong. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
All right! Here we are. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Well, so much soccers. So many cups, so many trophies.
I love how Alex Rodriguez was like, finally, baseballs, we get sports again. Bruh, we almost have too much soccer to talk about. What are you talking about?
A-Rod, how could you break my heart like that? Oh. You know, a man who I've been told I look like and sound like. Yeah. It's really devastating.
Perpetually.
Constantly reminded. Every time he's on a broadcast, people are like, is Christian Polanco calling this Yankees, this Subway Series? Yeah. What's going on?
Why is Christian Polanco getting touchy with J-Lo?
Wow, man, wish I was him.
You know, hey, look, celebrity status that we got now, baby. That's what happened.
You know, she has hundreds of millions of dollars, and I host a soccer television show, so we are equal footing.
You know, I mean, and if I look like A-Rod, I would be all over a premium sausage sandwich from Yankee Stadium. That's what I would be getting for free.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans Living Room FC. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer television show that you have ever seen.
Yep. It's not just that, though. Just so happens to be the gulliest.
Correct. All right. Look, we before we even introduce ourselves, we had an A-Rod reference, a J-Lo reference. All right. It doesn't get gullier than that.
All right. We're talking about feeling all up on a sausage sandwich. I mean, what other show are you getting this on?
Okay. Let me lick you up and down. That's the sausage. I'm talking about.
Sir, please move out of the way. I'm speaking directly to that sausage.
Anyway, yes, it's a very stupid show, but we're always excited to be here.
We hope you're having fun, because we're having fun.
So, yes, soccer is obviously, look, there's so much news to go over. Obviously, the MLS is back to him. The NWSL final
was amazing.
It was amazing. We'll get to it in just a moment. We have to start with a bit of a shout out and obviously mentioning who our guest is today, DeJuan Jones of the New England Revolution. We spoke to him before the result, before the New England Revolution.
So it's going to sound like he's wild excited that they lost, but that's not his general mood was very excited.
They lost to the Philadelphia Union. It was a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
But yes. So at least you can, DeJuan, great dude. So happy that he joined us on the show.
By the way, Christian, that is a beautiful jersey you're wearing.
Yes, I got to mention it. Shout out to the Richmond Kickers.
I wish I had one. Wait a minute. What is this?
Look at that. Look at that. They FedExed it right through your window.
I know, right? First of all, they're paying for that window. Look at this.
Thank you so much, Richmond Kickers, for the kit. Obviously, in Richmond, Virginia.
My wife studied through the Bon Secours system. That's how she got her nursing. So that's kind of cool, right?
Repping
her. Plus, on the front, what does that say here? Little stone design, right? I'm clearly jacked, you know, and a strong man. So that I'm represented on the front.
You're looking like, it looks like you are part of a union. You're like, all right, shout out to Stone and Marble Granite.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, buddy? What are you, local 183?
But we also have, we have to do in our first Living Room FC unboxing.
Wait, you got a box? I didn't get a box.
I got a box. All
what
right,
is that?
I got a nice empty white box. No, this is a box from Charlotte.
Yo. I saw people getting this on social.
It's from Charlotte FC. They announced their name. Everybody was like, okay, you did all that for Charlotte FC, which is great.
You put FC on it? All right.
So, all right. Look, they sorted it out. You know, they were crossing off, potential names. But they
a lot of jokes because they're using their airport code, which is CLT.
That's right.
Which is one letter away from a lady part. So that we hear exists.
Yeah. It's, you know what? Let me look you up and it still works.
We're talking about the sausage.
We're talking about the airport code.
Yeah. I mean, this airport, you got to find the right spot in the airport. But let me tell you something. It's a good time.
When you do, you know what?
Yeah.
You're in the clouds.
You got to focus. You got to focus when you get there to that one spot. But it's a great time.
Okay. No, well, yes. Thank you, Charlotte FC, for the...
I wish they would have sent me... Oh, my God. Look at this.
All right, look at this. We got, first of all, I've been seeing this.
A thong. Look at this, right?
All right.
How does this work?
Right.
What parts go through here?
This is, no, a mask.
No, it's a mask.
Okay.
How beautiful is this? And it kind of wraps around the head. It's got a space for the ears. This is nice. It's not going to tug on your ears.
A scarf.
Beautiful scarf.
Thank you, Charlotte.
So we've been fans of Charlotte since day one, right? I remember being a kid talking about Charlotte FC.
That's right. Ever since Wednesday.
And shouts to the teams in the South who sent me an appropriately sized shirt.
All right.
Look at this.
Thank you, Charlotte FC. Well,
but not just that. We also got these dope coins. Did you see this?
Yeah, this is.
And their
this.
Number, there's 2022 for the year in which they're starting. What number did you get?
I got 547. What'd you get?
Oh, I got 527. Look at
that. Wow, you got an earlier one, bro.
Beat
yours
that.
Is older.
It's nice because it's minted. So look at it. It's nice and heavy. All right, shouts to you guys.
Okay, I'm going to buy a bacon, egg, and cheese with this.
I'm going to trade this in for a quick BEC.
I'm going to toss it to like a guy selling a newspaper, like an old-timey movie.
Yo, can I get ketchup and salt, pepper, ketchup on that? That's extra? Why don't you hold this thong right quick?
Okay, you ever heard of barter? That's what we're doing out here. And we got a flag.
Wait, I did not get that.
Oh, there's only one in the box.
All right, well, you can put it in the background. It'll be nice and dope.
Well, thank you again, Charlotte FC. Best of luck.
Beautiful.
Getting everything going out there. We know we did the Charlotte. We did a show with them, with Tiffany Blackman, and that was awesome, too. So.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. So thank you again. So up next, let's talk a little bit of NWSL and the final. Yes, the Houston Dash win the NWSL Challenge Cup. Congrats to them. They
wrecked the Chicago Red Stars. Yeah.
Look, having seen how well the Dash played this tournament, they have legit highlights, right? They were not only they weren't just scoring tap-ins here and there. It was golazos.
The coach is like, "What do you guys want to do? Like 5 goals today? 4?" I mean, they've got the Shake Room, Rachel Daly, Kristen Mew. Is that connection incredible?
Yeah. Not only they were a team that never even made it to the NWSL playoffs, and
they arrived in style, dude.
Not only did they win the whole thing, but they like you said, they won in style. Like you're not, there aren't too many, especially with so many of the teams not having their star players, not having their U.S. women's national team players. Dash, I believe somebody said this. Dash have no U.S. women's national team players on their squad, and they looked legit. I mean,
yeah,
not only
like,
was it
don't need them.
Well, U.S. women's national team, never heard of them.
Now, why don't you take them? Clearly, you guys need it more than we do.
Okay, so
we got a bunch of scorers. Like, we don't really.
So look, a lot to talk about. Stick around because DeJuan Jones of the New England Revolution will be joining us right after this segment.
That's right.
And yes, and another reminder, again, we recorded this before the results between the Philadelphia Union and the New England Revolution. So, but again, awesome.
Great interview,
still a great, great conversation. So the, let's talk very quickly about some news in Major League Soccer. The MLS is back tournament. We thought wasn't, you know, it was just going to be a couple games here and there. Wasn't going to necessarily be providing a ton of fodder and news. you are incorrect, sir.
Wow, was we wrong?
Atlanta United making headlines. For the wrong reasons. They fire their coach, Frank DeBoer.
Frank DeGon. People said Frank departed already on the internet. So they took they took the easy one. So I gotta come up with a different one. But I mean, I was shocked. Are you?
I was very shocked because Frank DeBoer also, you know, won the U.S. Open U.S. Open Cup. He won the Campeones Cup, so he has a history and track record of already winning. But apparently, from all reports and rumors, is that the players were wildly unhappy with him. They just did not really maybe respect his coaching philosophy or the way he did things, but they weren't.
They hated him. I mean, from all intents and purposes, they seemed to just wanted him out. They said ta-ta, you know, ta-ta toodaloo.
Yes, no, you know, but yeah, hidden messages in the ta-ta there.
No, not at all.
No, it's kind of wild, and I didn't realize or think any coach would be let go during the tournament.
No.
But I guess that was enough to.
I mean, they played poorly. They were one of the worst teams. You got to get fired.
No points, no goals. You're gone. But we'll be back in just a moment with DeJuan Jones of the New England Revolution.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but
dude.
We're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID-69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, you know, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and then that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in this Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with. Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting now because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay? That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had Zach
Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle.
Yes.
I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad, and we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. Hi, baby. We're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and we're here with our guest. I mean, This is what we talk about. But we say we're getting inside the bubble, okay?
Okay.
And that's what we're doing, all right?
All right. And that we're getting inside the bubble. The bubble's coming to us.
Okay? All of a sudden, the bubble's over us because we say it. But this is dope. I mean, we love talking to players, especially that are down there busting their asses, especially if they're trying to get on the pitch and see some minutes in the extreme heat. Personally, I'd be like, Coach, I'm in the AC. We'll be high. You let me know if you need me, but for now, I'm going to stand as close to the walk-in.
You know, I'm more interested in that New England weather, okay?
It just seems to fit my bones better. But let's talk to this dude, because in particular, I want to talk to him posterizing other players and getting a shout-out on 4-3-3, which is pretty fire. Ladies and gentlemen, East Lansing's own, the pride of Michigan State. Put your hands together unless you're driving for the one and the only, DeJuan Jones, everybody.
DeJuan, what's good?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for doing this, man. Yes, we obviously, you are inside the bubble. We're getting updates from players all the time. What has the experience been like for you? I know, you know, for some of the veterans, some of the older guys, they have like maybe babies or families at home. Some of the younger dudes are like, yo, let's go. What's the feeling?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think the older guys, their wives, their kids, it's like they're leaving more. But for me, it's just me and my roommate who's also on the team. So we're like, let's get it. Like, we're young.
Yeah, you're like, road
trip.
We're
not leaving anything behind. Yeah. So really, it's just been like another preseason almost, just with the atmosphere, just always being around your team. I think the team chemistry's been building ever since we got here. And it's just like a vacation, almost just hanging out with your boys, going to training, playing games. Like, it's been a good time for me so far.
Yeah, the only thing that's changed for you is that someone makes your bed now, right? That's it.
Exactly. A cleaner room.
That's it. You still got the same roommate. Everything's the same.
Yeah.
And it's been look, and you know, just full disclosure, we're taping this on July 20th. So obviously, and this is airing a week after, you know, when we are taping it. So this is after the matches have not happened yet, as far as New England's third match. Let's at least talk.
So be wild, egregious. You could be like, I've already scored 8 goals in the last match.
So far, what has the experience been like for you, for the team? I watched definitely the last game, which was a draw. What's the feeling like for the New England Revolution, and how you guys feel you'll do in this tournament?
Yeah, we're still feeling really confident. We think we dropped the 3 points last game, but I mean, it's another thing that we'll build off on, we'll learn from, and we're excited for Toronto tomorrow. It's going to be a big match. They're tied with us for top of the group right now, so. We really control our own destiny, so we're excited to get after it. We got the 9 a.m. game tomorrow. Like 6:30 wake up call, so we'll be in bed by 9:30 tonight.
What do you eat before? And again, I'm the fat guy, so this is what I care about. What do you eat before a 9:30 match?
I'll probably do some eggs, maybe some toast. That's about it.
Keep it light.
Maybe some fruit. Just a little bit of fruit.
Dude, I'd have a massive meal before I went to bed if I knew I was going to wake up and play for 90 minutes in that heat.
But Alexis eats like he's never going to have another meal again. You know?
I mean, you know, because who knows, right? They say you celebrate every goal like you're never going to scare him to score another one.
Yeah.
Right? Who are you to tell me not to eat that way? when you look at the difference, I mean, you've played Montreal already. You're about to play Toronto. You're also from a relatively cold weather city. How have you, and how maybe some of the other players on your team have addressed the fact that, like, moments after you come onto the field, you're completely covered in sweat. It looks like a wet t-shirt contest out there. How do you handle that? What do you do differently?
I think it's just mental. I mean, you got to just think about it. Everyone's dealing with the same heat. And that's the only way you can get through it. You're going to have to play the game. Like, the game's not going to stop for you. I mean, we got the water breaks, but still, you got to just push through. And everyone's dealing with it, like I said. So just staying positive about it, because there's no point in complaining. You can't change. It's not going to change anything. It's still going to be humid. It's still going to be hot. It's still going to be drenched. Wet t-shirt contest the whole night.
When you grew up in Michigan and then played in Michigan State, you didn't regularly have to deal with this kind of weather, right? Like, is this something you have maybe in the past?
Not really. Only when I come to Florida and Orlando. That's when you see the rainstorms, thunderstorms, and then the extreme heat and humidity.
Yeah, bro. I just, sports should be illegal in Florida. We should introduce that rule.
Have we thought about like indoor air conditioned soccer just for the tournament? You know.
Yes.
Yeah. So and as far as the approach of look, we've spoken to some older players, so maybe we should. It'd be interesting to hear the perspective of a younger player of the coronavirus protocol and how everything is sort of handled. I know for some of the older players, obviously the concern is there for everyone's health, but for a younger player, is there anything of like, you know, because we see these like spring breakers, the young college kids out and they're like, they see it as like, I'm invincible or whatever, you know, but as a professional athlete and also as a younger player, is there a sense of, oh, I gotta make sure I'm extra disciplined here.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think it's easier for us to slip up just because, like you said, we're younger. There's a lot more stuff happening for us without, like, being married and having kids and all that. But I think, for the most part, our guys were very responsible. We were always wearing our masks. We had to, like, let the club know if we were going somewhere other than practice or home. So I think, like, the Revs, we did a good job staying on top of it. And here we are. We're still in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, you also have, you know, Bruce Arena, who we lovingly call Brooklyn Bruce on this show. Yeah, you know I mean, who's OG from Brooklyn, he's old school,
OG,
you know?
OG.
You know, when we hear him talk, the accent just makes me think he wants to order a sandwich at a deli, you know what I mean? Like, yo, let me get a chopped cheese, my guy. It's in his soul. But someone like him who has the experience of managing the national team, he seems like an overwhelmingly prepared dude, right? So what do you think, just having him as a manager, has it changed, especially in a situation like this? You think he's adapted well, but what are some of the things that he's sort of ingrained in you guys to push you? Because you have played well.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, again, just being mentally tough. We're all dealing with the same conditions. And then he's also flexible. Like, if guys think we're tired and we'll have less in the training session, or we'll do a pool regen, something like that. So he's, like you say, he's very adaptable, and he's really a player's coach. So we all trust him. He trusts us, believes in us. And I think that's why we're playing well right now.
What's a pool regen? I just picture all the New England Revolution guys on those large pink swans in the pool.
Yeah, it's actually nice. It's actually really nice. One of our assistant coaches, he gets in there with us, and we it's almost like swimming lessons, honestly. But we're doing like high knees, you know, butt kicks, open the gate, close the gate. And it's just, I don't know, it's pretty relaxing. I think it's nice for the muscles.
Okay.
That's good.
I can't wait to see Diego Fagundes with a floaties. Floaties on. Let's go.
Bow on the noodles. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Or what are those chicken? What was it when you put the person on your shoulder and they would
that
fight?
Chicken, yeah.
Let's go, yo.
Yeah, good times.
And again, another reminder, we are recording this 1 week before you are watching this. So this is obviously before. We don't know exactly the results.
So right now, the Revs fans are like, why aren't they asking about blank? We don't know what happened yet. Relax.
So, but I do want to ask about your living situation right now in the bubble. I've been seeing different players.
Yo, you sound like his mom, dude.
Okay. All right.
What's going on with your life?
Are you washing your socks? You know, get real concerned. What is the situation as far as your free time? Well, the free time that you have, what are you doing with it? Are you? I've been seeing players; they've been bringing their PS4s, their Xboxes. Obviously,
a lot of Switches.
Okay, we got FIFA, we got Call of Duty, Fortnite. What is your routine? How are you handling this quarantine inside the bubble?
Yeah, so it's actually nice. We all have our own rooms, and like usually on road trips, we have to share a room with someone. So like now I'm like used to my own room. So when we have to go back, it's going to be a tough adjustment. But so far I've been spending a lot of time playing Fortnite with some of my teammates. And then I'm just watching TV, a lot of soccer, and then reading a little bit, and then YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So,
All right. It's good because this is the main concern is that when we try to do a television show, the internet connection not great because everybody's playing Fortnite. You know what I mean? So I'm surprised. Whatever time we got you, everybody's busy. They're not really on the internet. So
we need these kids to go back to school just to get the internet back. Like, we understand it's a safety concern, but the internet. Like, are you nice with it though? You get busy on Fortnite?
It just depends on the day. I'm not consistent right now. I'm not consistent, but if you catch me on the right day,
okay,
kind of nice.
And Fortnite, I've never played Fortnite, but I've seen obviously people play. But it is like a last man standing type of game, right? You have to be the last person alive. How many times have you won? Because I feel like a lot of people who are not really great at the game, they remember how many times they've actually won.
I remember that one time.
No, I don't know my stats. I don't know my stats, but I have definitely over 100 wins. Like, if you combine, like, solos, duos, and, like, squads.
Okay. That's not being humble.
That's not that great.
I didn't know we were speaking to the golden boot winner of Fortnite. My bad.
My ninja's scared right now, dog.
No, typically when I play this mode called Creative. And that's when you get to hop in with your friends and you got like 1v1 against each other. And there's like 10 rounds. So it's like, that's what I enjoy more than the actual game. It's just like playing with my friends, you know, trash talk, all that.
Okay.
That's how I am too. Like, when I play FIFA, I can't do the whole FIFA Ultimate Team. I don't care about trading cards and all that. Yeah. I just want to get online with the homies and beat them all. Except Christian, who's like really good at it. It's super annoying.
Yeah. That beat them all doesn't include me. Okay. Yeah.
Which is why I don't invite him anymore. You know what I mean? Okay. You got to be smart.
As far as you're playing with your teammates, who is like all who do you have that competitive rivalry with in video games?
Yeah, right now it's Brandon Bai and Justin Renix. I play with those two guys the most. And then sometimes we'll get Farrell involved, Matt Turner, Tico, and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. When you play FIFA, do you play as yourself?
I played as myself one time. I don't play FIFA that much.
Okay. Oh, no?
FIFA that much. No, not that
much. Do you not play because, like, you've got enough soccer and everything else you do? Or you're just like, this isn't exactly what I would do on the field, or I don't like my number, so I'm not messing with it?
No, for me, I don't play video games that much, but like Fortnite is a game that's just kind of kept me playing video games. Like, if it wasn't for Fortnite, I don't think I would play video games right now.
Okay.
But then I'll hop on FIFA every once in a while.
Yeah, that's how I feel about FIFA. That's the thing that makes me buy the damn system to begin with.
Yeah. No, I own a FIFA machine. I play nothing else with it. That's just facts.
No, I feel that.
Okay. So people can get incredibly bored, so it's always interesting to hear that's kind of the main thing. Where even when in March, when everything lockdown kind of started, it was like, all right, I'm gonna be productive. Okay, now that I have time to myself, and then 2 weeks in, you're like, no, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to learn a new language on Duolingo. That damn owl's been like, are you even alive?
Yeah, same here.
Are you taking the time to reach out to family? Because even when you're in New England, you still have to, obviously you got a lot of family back in Michigan, I suppose, right? So are you taking the time to do that, or are you just trying to stay like zoned in?
Nah, I reach out to my family every day, friends, family, pretty much every day I'm FaceTiming or calling someone. So I like to stay connected with people back in Michigan.
Okay. Yeah. And look, I don't know too much about your career before you got drafted, but at least we should talk a little bit about what that experience like being a part. I think so. You were part of the last actual draft, right? There's no more
physical draft.
There's no more actual draft. It's just draft. A phone call now. Like, yo, get the
Zoom call. Zoom call. If you ain't got the connection to log in, you ain't get drafted. It's tough.
So what was that day like for you?
Yeah, that day was special. So it all started really, I would say, at the combine for me. I think a couple teams knew me like before the combine, but in the combine it was the testing day, and I was first in the 30 meter, first in like the agility, and then third in like the jump vertical test. So like just from day one, I was already like, they're like, who's this guy? He's athletic. And then the first game, I scored a nice goal, And then it was like, I'm getting all these interviews with the teams. Like I had like 12 interviews. I'm like feeling real good going into draft day.
Yo, so, everybody's in my DMs now.
Yeah, it was a good feeling. And then, like you said, being able to walk across that stage, you know, shake hands with the commissioner. It was a really cool experience. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. What is talk a little bit about that situation, because on certain websites, you're listed as a forward / defender. On other websites, you're listed as a winger. Like what you just didn't want to be goalkeeper. You decided I'll do all everything else. What happened, and how difficult is that to sort of kind of get a name for yourself when you are so multifaceted?
Yeah. So my whole life I've been an attacking player. Even at Michigan State, I was a winger all 4 years. And then when I came to New England, I was still a winger under Brad Friedel. And then our assistant coach actually took over for Brad when he got fired. He looked at me as an outside back, even when I first got there as a winger. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So when he took over, he played me at outside back one game. And I played like, it was actually the game against Montreal when I megged the defender.
Yeah, dude, it was Diallo, that game. You busted him. Yo, if you haven't seen it, 4-3-3 did it. And the quote, 4-3-3, I actually feel bad for the defender. So DeJuan is just sprinting down the line. And Diallo, it looks like he's trying to cut off your angle, but you show up mad quick, much quicker than he expected. So he does a full turn, starts chasing after him. And at some point, you know, like when the defender kind of runs just a little bit past you to cut off the angle where you're going to cross, he does that slightly wide step. The one, all I know is he appeared on the other side of the defender, and so did the ball. I had to rewind to see the nutmeg. And I mean, if this were happening now, it'd be like, oh, they do the dude or the, you know, like it was incredible. And that was you playing a position that you don't even want to play, outside back.
Yeah, exactly. So like that was like my breakout game. And then after that, it was like Bruce Arena was coming in, and then I played against LA Galaxy left back. We won, I think 2-1. And then when he took the reins, it was like, hello, outside back. How are you? So it's been fun. I mean, talking to him and still saying that he'll give me some opportunities potentially out wide, like attacking. But I'm just starting to learn how to play outside back. And I'm realizing you can still get forward from outside back. So,
yeah, I mean, we saw Alphonso Davies went from winger to winning the damn Bundesliga. So anything is possible.
Exactly. So, you know, just do what you can to get on the field.
Hell yeah. Okay, there's no more physical draft. But in that, a lot of people were talking about how drafts weren't even important anymore, how you're not going to get great quality. Is that something that – have you heard that? Is that a chip that you have on your shoulder you're trying to prove? Is that something that you feel you sort of need to make a name for yourself? And do you even agree with that sentiment?
I mean, yeah, I see where it's coming from, because a lot of the top picks don't end up really playing too many minutes for the MLS teams. But I think there are definitely some great players that come out of college soccer, and I think it shows. Myself, I know Hassani Dawson's doing well, Frankie Amaya. So it shows that there's definitely guys in the draft who can produce at this level. And I think I know they're talking about maybe cutting out the combine. I think that would be a tough idea. I mean, I think it helped me so much, and I'm super thankful for it. So, I mean, I think they should still look at college soccer as a great option. There's definitely great players there, and especially for guys who didn't play academy soccer like myself, college soccer is like your stage to show yourself. So I think it's very important, and there's definitely great players in college soccer.
And how do you feel about just the, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show, just about the ability of identifying talent. Do you think it's like a little frustrating that it took all the way up to the combine for people to be aware of your ability and who you were?
I mean, I feel like coaches have so much to do already, especially within their own teams. I feel like it's kind of hard. I mean, I'm not really sure what like the recruiting is or like the scouting, how that all works.
Yeah.
But I think the combine was a great option to, I mean, everyone's there. You're seeing all this talent, some of the top talent, you know, from this year's draft. So I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it would have been nice to have been noticed earlier, but it's like how, I mean, I'm not sure who they're, like I said.
Yeah.
So you weren't a part of any academy. Were you part of those like travel clubs that maybe had scouts come out? Was that an option for you growing up?
Yeah. So I played for my local team, TNT Dynamite, out of Lansing, Michigan.
What a great name. I love those are dope.
Dude, does TNT Dynamite have like a slogan or a cheer or something that they say when they break a huddle? Because it should be like boom or something. You know what I mean?
On three, pow.
I think maybe the girls teams did something like that, but the guys were like, "Nah, we can't do that. We can't do that." But no, I had a couple of different options, like playing for academy teams. Like we had the Wolves Academy and then like Vardar Academy in Michigan. But I don't know, for me, it was just important to stay with my local club and just remain loyal to them because they'd done so much for me up to that point. And then also, like, I wouldn't be able to play high school soccer without if I played academy soccer. So with high school soccer, I was, like, All-American my senior year, like, Gatorade Player of the Year, Mr. Soccer in the state of Michigan. So, like, and I made all these, like, lifelong friends from, like, playing high school soccer and just, you know, really being present at my high school. So... And I, like, built a great community, great fan base, great friends, like, people that I'll know for a lifetime now. So I'm super grateful that, you know, I just stayed with my local club and played high school soccer.
Is Mr. Soccer a real thing, or is this a magazine cover that I don't know about?
That's what they call it. That's what they call it. That
is Bachelor of the Year, a.k.a. Mr. Soccer. I've never heard that before.
It should have a sash, you know?
It should have something.
Top of a float on a parade. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Soccer.
That's dope, though. It's good to hear these stories, because, look, we know. And a lot of American soccer fans are always like, why can't it be like the way it is in England or France, where like the kids are robots from 6 years old and become Paul Pogba? You know what I mean? Like, so it's
that's
nice
a hell
to...
of a move, robot to Pogba. It's not bad. That's every kid's dream, right?
But it is, because you know the American. I guess format of like how to produce soccer players is obviously very different from the rest of the world. And, a lot of kids that grew up with the sole focus of making it to that first team in soccer didn't really have any, didn't prioritize schooling at all. And yeah, they can, you know, sending crosses and banging a goal from 30 yards, but they have a tough time reading an eighth grade level book, you know? So it's like we have a little, you know, we're trying to have the best of both worlds while we're here.
You
gotta
have a balance. You know?
Yeah.
The only thing you read can't be the number on your dollar bills, you know what I mean?
I'm glad to hear that positive of story, especially of all the good things that come with the you know, going playing in high school and there are people that get through it and make it to the first team, especially of an MLS team. Yeah, so I mean, you again, you're like an example of that.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to, you know, kind of pave the way for some guys who, I don't know if they can't play for the academies or what it is. Like, you can still make it as long as you know, you work hard, keep your head down, stay focused.
Yeah, bro.
You know, so many players that we talk about that didn't play in the academy system or didn't have, like, scouts fawning all over them, they don't seem bitter, but they seem a little bit less positive than you do about this, how you were, sort of how you got into the league. Like, have you just always had this positive outlook? Because it's shocking to me. We're two East Coast guys. We're like, what's wrong with this kid? Be mad. Be mad at everybody.
You know? How dare you doubt me? You know?
You should have known from the first time I kicked anything that even looked like a ball. I was meant for, you know, destined for greatness. That's how I am. And I'm not destined for anything. Have you always been like this? And you got to credit your positivity to at least part of why you're so successful.
Yeah. No, I've always been a very positive guy, always looking for the bright side of every situation. I mean, I think there always is. And I believe everything happens for a reason. So, you know, you just got to make the most out of it and then, you know, keep it moving.
All right.
Yeah. We got to get Bruce to get you a little angry. I'm going to talk to Bruce. Bruce, East Coast, come up a little bit.
Oh, outside back? Nah, Bruce, I play where I want.
No, I'll start there, but then I'm going wherever the hell I want. What you mean this is the last time I play?
Oh, my God, please. If we don't ever take our advice, any players watching this show.
Yeah, Bruce is going to be like, no more. No more refs players.
No more interviews.
on this show.
And again, just another reminder, we are recording this 1 week before you are watching this. So we will not be talking about the results for the New England Revolution in their upcoming games. But let's, you know, we were talking about your mentality. And I want, you know, this show is normally not some like gotcha show where we're trying to like, you know, catch MLS players off guard, but
research. We try not to. You know what I mean?
But we were just informed by one of our producers that of an article about you that was in your hometown newspaper. Okay, the Lansing. What was it?
The Lansing State Journal.
And we have to address this because I mean, this is an important subject, right? And right. So I'm going to read this quote from the article. It says. So I'm assuming this is from Carla Jones that was quoted in this, and it says, this is your sister, I believe.
18 months older.
It says,
and he's leaving up to the sister to throw you under a bus.
Okay. Oh, so let's blame Carla, not the Cooligans. Okay. So it says right here, it says, he's always, quote, I'm quoting Carla, by the way, it says, he's always somebody who says, quote, I'm the greatest. This is like in eighth grade and in fifth grade. He's in fifth grade, he says, I'm the best in the world, said Carla Jones, 18 months older than DeJuan, standing in the middle of the field after watching her brother play for Lansing United on Friday night. I mean, look, at when we were talking about humility, man. And just carrying yourself, just I'm a positive dude.
And it doesn't end there, because apparently Carla said, we were just like, you're not really the best, but keep believing that. And DeJuan replied softly and with sarcasm, oh, wow, thanks. So I don't need your opinion of my greatness.
Okay, and you want to respond to this?
Yeah.
And these statements from Carla Jones.
Salacious.
Yeah, these allegations. Uh-huh. No, so growing up, no, my dad would always feed that into me, like, DeJuan, like, you're the best. You're the best. Like, just keep believing that. So I've always been believing that. And then I would like watch soccer games. Like, I can do that. Like, I'm watching like Barcelona or like MLS. I'm like, I could be out there right now. I'm like 15, 14. So I've always just, you know, had that like strong self-belief and just confidence that of my abilities and that I can compete with the best. So
okay. You gotta have that.
True. It's true. It's true what she said.
You gotta have that. But also, it's your sister's job to tell you you ain't shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, to knock me back down, yeah.
Like, when I was young and I would get ready and I'd be like, yo, I look fresh to death. And I walk out, my sister's like, yo, you look like garbage. I'm like, okay. So now I'll meet it halfway. She's not that wrong, but she's not that right. And maybe I'm not that right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that is the role of especially the older sister. Uh-huh. You know, I have an older brother, and if I walked out dressing, you know, looking silly, he'd be like, oh no, you all right? Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
He called his friends like, yo, my brother's about to walk down the block past your place. watch the dumbass stuff he's wearing right now.
Yo, just take photos. Make sure you take photos. Yeah. No, that's good. You know, it is a you know, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that role your father had in instilling that confidence, because you know, when it comes to building the American soccer player, any player really. You know, having support from your family is definitely a huge, I mean, advantage, right? And to have someone that can instill that mentality, you know, what was his influence on your career as an athlete?
Yeah, I think it was great. I mean, growing up, I played almost every sport, you know, basketball, baseball, track and field, cross country, bowled a little bit back in the day.
Okay.
So, I mean, I played a little bit of everything, so he just taught me, like, to be coachable, you know, always listening to the coach, always figuring out ways to get better. And then, again, just the repetition of, like, letting me know, like, you're the best, you can do it, you know, just those positive affirmations all the time was very helpful. And then, like, I can talk about soccer with my parents, both of my sisters, and we're honest with each other. Like, my mom will not be scared to tell me if I played bad, like, to be the first one to call me out. So we're super honest with each other, and I think that's been definitely helpful. My support system right there.
Imagine if it was mom that got quoted in the Lansing State Journal.
He might be. He think he's special. Like, what? How am I getting yelled at in a newspaper? My mother would be like, he no clean his room, so he cannot be professional. You know, it'd be a whole thing.
Oh, he scored a goal? Well, how did he do that when he was grounded?
He's in trouble. You know? But did your parents play soccer? Do you come from a soccer family?
Not really, actually. So my dad played football in college, and then 1 year in the NFL with the Denver Broncos. And then my mom ran track in high school. So soccer was new for them. I was in kindergarten, and we started a team, and I signed up for it. And then just, you know, running around out there, kicking the ball in the goal, doing the little tunnels after the game, like just run through, get the snacks, you know, Capri Suns. I just kind of fell in love, and then I joined like my local team again, doing like 3v3 tournaments, 4v4 tournaments, like, and then started to do indoor soccer. And then from there, it was like a sport that I always did. And then again, I would additionally do, like, you know, baseball in the summer, basketball, it's like in the fall, you know, all that stuff, cross country in the fall, track in the spring. So I was doing a lot. So super thankful to my parents for just, you know, supporting me and making all those sacrifices to get me to all these trainings.
Yeah, when did you decide that, like, I want to be a soccer player? And at what age did that feel real?
I mean, probably when I was, like, 11 or 12. But I think when I was little, I wanted to play basketball at first. Like, I don't know. I think it was just, like, the American thing. Like, oh, basketball, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, after, like, playing soccer more, I was like, soccer's way more fun.
Yeah, dude.
There's so much more to do.
Well, was there any particular
shot, though? Is your J nice?
I got a jump shot. You know, I can drive. Good at defense. You know, a lot of steals.
You ever see these European guys? Like, what was that video? Pogba versus Lukaku playing basketball.
Lukaku playing basketball.
They're trash shots.
Why are they so bad?
Yo, they shoot like 7 year olds. They're all out in front. It's like, bruh, above the head, my guy. They look like they're doing throw-ins. You know,
no follow through.
Trash.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It is the multi-sport athlete, is where I think we're sort of seeing it can become this, like, it's strange. I don't know. Like, sometimes I feel like the multi-sport athlete is an advantage for the American soccer player, because then the European guys get here and, you know, quote unquote retirement league this. And then it's like, oh, wow. Then they start playing. They're like, oh, this league is not as weak as I thought it was.
Europeans are like, do they know it's this hot? Why are they running so hot? Because they used to play in England. They were like, it rains and it's cold all the time. Yeah. You got to be in an airplane for more than 5 minutes, my guy. We're a big old country.
Yeah. I mean, when you started playing what was that feeling like of, like, oh, man, this is the level here is quite different than obviously in college and stuff like that. Like, that was that jarring, or did you feel like, oh, I'm fit enough and I'm able to keep up with these dudes?
Yeah. I think I was fit enough. I think just the speed of play was, I mean, I thought college, like from high school to college was a jump, but this jump was, you know, even greater. And then, like, I would say my welcome to the league moment, we were doing this, like, man, like, one-on-one, man-on-man, like, 5v5 thing, and, like, you can only guard your player. And then Christian Pena, I'll never forget, we were in Spain for preseason last year. The ball was, like, bouncing. He, like, somehow kicked it over my head, and he was running down the side, or, like, running down the field. He had a terrible angle. I thought I blocked it off. Like, I'm sprinting next to him, and he just puts it, like, top corner from no angle, and I was just like, well,
okay,
I guess this is the MLS.
Like, I need to study up a little bit.
I don't know what he just did, but that was disgusting, and I need to learn that.
Christian Pena called the Lansing State Journal. He told them he is not the greatest.
It was right. Carlo was spot on.
All right. Oh, no.
Thank you, DeJuan Jones, for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. You are a great sport. And we made a lot of jokes. Just, you know, we were inspired by Carla. I got to be honest.
Well, she said no to the interview, so we decided to interview you. That's really the point.
But thank you so much for joining us. DeJuan, is there anything you want to mention or plug before we sign off?
Yeah, if you guys want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, my ad is DeJuan Jones 24.
Okay. Perfect enough. Yes, and New England Revolution. Obviously, we are recording this before the completion of group stage play. So, obviously, DeJuan, best of luck to you and your New England Revolution. Best of luck. I know, yeah, it's this tournament, at the very least, has been incredibly entertaining. So, thank you for that. Everybody, thank you. Make sure to follow DeJuan Jones. Follow the Cooligans, at Soccer Cooligans, on all social media. Follow Fubo Sports, at Fubo Sports, at Fubo TV. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel if you'd like to see full episodes of our program. So thank you again for everybody watching, tuning in. So let's end the show the way we normally do. So for DeJuan Jones, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!